That's another one of those stories that you can tell now because the statute of limitations ran out a long time.
If you want one more quick engineer story, Bob.
Okay.
The story about Mighty Mitch walking in on me at 10 minutes till 12 with the Hi-Fi Club records in his hand.
Right.
Okay, and I'm sitting at the transmitter over in New Albany, and he says, "Do you still have turntables?" And I said, "Yeah, we still have turntables." And he says, "Here's all the records from the Hi-Fi Club at midnight. It's yours." Okay, and so I did my best that night to play a radio station, and I wasn't a disc jockey. I didn't, you know, I'd never done it before in my life, but I did it, and you've got a clip of it right there.
Right.
And at 6 o'clock in the morning, Bruce came in to relieve me, and he walks in the front door, and he says, "What in the world are you doing?"
As an engineer.
Yeah. He says, "What in the world are you doing?"
You were doing disc jockey and engineer.
And I said, "I'm playing radio." He said, "Why are you doing that?" I said, "Everybody else has got the flu, and Mitch is coming in at 6.
Well, the reason we had the turntables at the transmitter was that WKLO-FM, during the daytime, we had to do our own programming, so it was left up to the engineers to do the programming. So one day we'd have classical music, one day we'd have country music, and the next day we'd have polka, and whatever the engineer decided to play, that's what we play on WKLFM during the daytime hours. Now, Bob, don't run off and leave me standing here in front of the microphone, because I'm an engineer and I don't talk all that well. We have a lot of reminiscing of about the engineering aspects of the KLO.
All right, thank you there, Brenda Lee.
WKLO.
Radio WKLO, Chuck Lyon. Showtime is now 3:16 in the morning.
WKLO.
Kentucky and a countdown.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
5, 5, 5, 5,
5. The Pozo Seco Singers. Look what you've done. All right. Countdown, 7 to 5. Pozo Seco Singers on Radio WKLO.
WKLO.
Radio WKLO, Chuck Lyon. Showtime is now 3:18 in the a.m.
It's late. Very late. You're all alone. Suddenly, there's a strange sound. You'll feel safe and secure if you're protected by...
Chicken!
Get your free Protected by Chicken Man decal now.
Really now. This fella called Travis Womack. Scratchy. Travis Womack, you put me on.
WKLO.
Ready to WKLO, Chuck Lyon. Showtime is now 3:22 in the a.m.
WKLO in Louisville.
All right now, here's a fella called Bobby Dylan. Called Rainy Day Women. Dylan, everyone must get stoned.
WKLO.
Ready to WKLO, Chuck Lyon. Showtime is now 3:25 in the morning.
WKLO in Louisville.
That's the place. And this is Brian Hyland, devoted to you. Derbytown Great Sound. He just didn't want to quit, that's all.
WKLO.
That's a pretty thing about Brian Hyland.
WKLO in Louisville.
And here's a wild thing by the Drifters. Got sand in my shoes. Yeah.
Oh, the boardwalk's deserted. There's nobody down by the shore.
There it is, Derbytown Great. Sand in my shoes, the Drifters.
WKLO.
Ready to WKLO, Chuck Lyon. Showtime is now 3:30 in the morning.
Swingers, yeah. Oh, let the good times roll.
Yeah.
Movers,
uh-huh.
Oh, let it fill your soul.
Yeah.
Excitement, and there's plenty of. Come on now and be where all the people be. Let the good times roll.
This is the Big Swinger with the Big Ideas. Radio WKLO, Louisville, Kentucky.
WKLO in Louisville.
That's where it's at.
Here's a group that's put out a lot of hit records in the last few years. Made a good pile of money doing it, too. They don't want to play for me.
In my room.
That's better.
In this world I lock out.
Much more music on Radio WKLO.
WKLO.
This is Dinah Washington. Unforgettable.
Like I said, Randy, it won't have to be running much longer. Okay, that's it. That was Pete Boyce, who was a great engineer on WKLO all through the 60s and 70s. And, well, I'll give him a 7 on a disc jockey, okay? Well, that had never been on the air before.
I see.
Randy Etcher, good to have you here again today.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Yeah, you all are having a great time, aren't you?
Oh, we're having a fantastic time, and, and you're part of that. And Bruce, who was just on a minute ago, and Pete and everybody else. By the way, this is WDJX AM Louisville. It's 6 minutes till 4 on Saturday afternoon, 22nd of June, 1991. And Randy, you first started with the radio station,
yeah.
1948,
right.
The last couple of months of 1948,
uh-huh.
And I had a few inquiries about that over the last couple of weeks when we were putting this together, and it was, no, Randy Etcher was never on WKLO. Yes, he was on WKLO. No, he was on WHAS. And
yes, I had a disc jockey program. We talked about it yesterday, and I forgot to tell you the name of it. It was called At Your Service.
Oh, okay.
At Your Service, yeah.
Okay, and KMOX in St. Louis still has something in their programming called At Your Service.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they stole it from KLO.
Well, I don't know. This was just Atcher because of the name, you know.
Oh, At Your Service.
At Your Service, yeah.
Okay, your last name. All right.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that. I've been on the mic too long, Randy.
Yeah, we used to. We had a program on WHAS with a group I called the Swingin' Cowboys, and they always wanted, we were on for Vic Sav, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they always wanted to come on the air. They were going to go, Atcher, Atcher, real Vic's you. They never would let us do it.
Gosh. Well, that's a good idea. I would have hired you.
Would you? No, that's good. Well, yeah, well, back in 1948, Joe Eaton was here, and I had me come over, you know, and then, as we were talking about yesterday, I had this four-hour country music disc jockey program. Of course, did live shows, too, and then we had the big top circus on Saturday mornings in the auditorium over at the Henry Clay Hotel, and it was full of kids. We had lots of kids there every Saturday and had a clown and just generally had a lot of fun.
Can you just kind of sit here for as long as you can stand it and reminisce about how you got into the entertainment broadcasting business, how you got started from,
well, from
whenever?
From way back. Huh?
And then take us through WKLO and WHAS radio and TV. And,
okay, well, I was from a musical family. My father played the fiddle and mother played piano, and all of we kids took up some kind of an instrument. I had a brother named Bob Atcher who became very well known in the country music business, and he and I were together. But at one time, there was a little station here in Louisville called WLAP, and it was over between 3rd and 4th Street on Guthrie, and we were on there, my brother Bob and I, and a singing duet, and then my two other brothers, Raymond and Francis, joined us, and my father, and we had the Atcher family on, and we played shows all around the country and so on. And this was in 1932 and 1933, and we were at WLAP for a while, and then about that time was when, and you'll be hearing more about this later, I'm sure, when Wave took over all of their equipment, and they transferred the WLAP call letters to Lexington, and then it became Wave, you know. And just about that time was when we went to WHAS doing the same thing. We had the Atcher family on over there, and my brother Bob and I were on. We had a program at 8 o'clock in the morning, And we were on from 8 to 8:15. This is the two of us. And then following us was a fellow named Joe Pearson, played piano, and Foster Brooks sang.
Mm-hmm.
And they were on for 15 minutes right after we finished. And then there were several acts on WHAS at that time. So this is in like 1934, 35, and along in there. And in 1936, Pee-wee King came into town with Gene Autry and was here with Gene Autry's group. Gene only stayed 2 or 3 months, and then he went to Hollywood and started making pictures. But Pee-wee mm-hmm. stayed in town, and we've been longtime friends from that time on. Pee-wee often tells people that I was the first person he met when he came into WHAS years ago. And so that was strictly radio, and I graduated from high school in 1936, and my brother Bob and I had been on together, and he got an offer from up in Chicago, WJJD in Chicago, and so he went up there, and I decided that I was probably going to get out of the entertainment business and go to college. So I went down to Western Kentucky to college.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, it was Western Kentucky State Teachers College. Was down there, and the 37 flood came along, and we lived at West Point, Kentucky, which is about 25 miles down the river.
Right.
Well, it washed our house down the river about a mile and a half. And so I came home from college, and Dad and a bunch of us built it back on the same foundation. He cut it down in sections, and it was the first prefab house I ever saw. You know, I was putting that house back. So this is 1937, and I didn't go back to college. I came back into the entertainment business, went to WHAS. I came downstairs that Sunday morning. They told me the Japs had attacked Pearl Harbor, so I quit the troop that night.
On your birthday?
Yeah, my birthday. Gosh. And I enlisted in the Air Force and went overseas. Well, I was in the Air Force for almost 5 years. And I went first to Biloxi, Mississippi, or Keyser Field, which is down there near Biloxi, and from there to Scott Air Base, and I was in Narrowway Communications, from there to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where I taught communications, and then I went to officer school and went overseas as a communications officer, and was overseas in the South Pacific for 3.5 years, and went over as a communications officer, but I finally got into personnel, was a personnel administration officer,
mm-hmm.
married a girl in Australia, was there for a couple of years. My son Mark, who is also an entertainer and was with us on the hoedown, and has his own group, and they entertain a lot around here. Mm-hmm. They call it Grand Slam, and so he was born there. He was 17 months old when the war was finally over. I decided to come on home anyway, and this was in October of 46. So I came back home and decided I'd get back in the entertainment business, and went to Savannah, Georgia, as a musical director of a brand new little radio station there, and was there. And at that time, see, Joe Eaton was general manager of WHAS. So he called me from down there and asked me to come back to WHAS. So I did, and that's when we had that year's contract for Vic Sav on WHAS with the Swingin' Cowboys. Had a Western swing group like the old Bob Wills and Texas Playboys mm-hmm. and those groups. And did that program for that year, and at the end of that year, they were kind of cutting back on the number of people at WHAS. And that's when I got the job I was telling you about yesterday, WGRC, where I was on 15 minutes a day. And
thought 2 hour air shift was short.
Well, it took me about an hour to do my day's work. You
boy,
know?
And Randy Ancher, I'll tell you, he comes in there, does 15 minutes on the air, goes home, makes $100,000 a year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, $85 a week.
You know, some things haven't changed, because I think I made as much as you made in 1974 as you made in 1940.
Right. Right.
Well, then I was there when Joe Eaton came over to begin WKLO as the general manager and program director, and he called me to come to WKLO. So I went over there.
So Joe Eaton went from WHAS over to KLO,
right,
and got you to come from HAS to KLO.
Well, no, I came from WGRC.
Oh, KLO. Okay, to KLO, okay.
Yeah, so then I was on WKLO with the disc jockey program and some live programs, too, when they called me from WHAS about the T-Bar V Ranch program.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over there. It's kind of an unusual story. There was a fellow who was there named Roy Starkey. And the program director at that time was a fellow named Harold Fair. And he wanted Happy Birthday to You, the old one that everybody knows, you know, to be played in a march tempo so that the children that were there for T-Bar-V could march around the room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Roy couldn't seem to do that, and Harold asked him to do it. He said, "Now, this is the way I sing Happy Birthday, and that's the only way I sing it." So they called me to come over, and of course, I guess I knew a little bit more about music. We were able to do that, and they let him go and hired me to do the program. And so the first day it went on the air was March 27th, 1950. We started, that was a sample program. We started the next Monday, and it went from March 27th, 1950 to June, I'm not exactly sure of the day, June of 1970. And then we had we were on radio, too. I was doing 22 programs a week, with a program at 7:15 in the morning and one at noon, just a regular radio program, and then another one at 6 o'clock in the evening. And then we had the old Kentucky Barn Dance show on there and a Saturday morning program called Circle Star Ranch. And then they started Hayloft Hoedown in 1951. And but prior to that, we'd had a little program they called Square Dance. And it was just a fiddle player and bass fiddle player, accordion player, and a girl singer and dancers. Square dancers, and then it became Hayloft Hoedown, and that was on then until December 1969. So it was on for almost 19 years, and T-Bar-V almost, well, 21 actually, because you start in March of one year to March of 70, that's 21 when you got it off, you know. And I guess that kind of brings me up pretty much up to date. I've did a lot of guest things then, Renfro Valley Barn Dance, Red Foley had a program in Missouri, Springfield, and Columbia. They originated both places, called Ozark Jubilee, and I went down there as guest on that show. I went up to Chicago as a guest on the National Barn Dance, and
how long ago was that?
Which one now?
Barn Dance in Chicago.
Well, that was
recently
in the 60s. In the 60s. Okay. And so was the one with Red Foley when he had the Ozark Jubilee. At that time, Porter Wagner was just starting out on that program, the Ozark Jubilee. He probably had been doing other local programs, but that's his first real exposure like that, you know.
And Porter gave who her break?
Dolly Parton.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we recorded for Columbia back in those early days in 1939 and 40, and when we were in Chicago. And my brother and his wife were a duo. They called them Bob Atcher and Bonnie Blue Eyes, and they sang and were very popular. We made the first recording of You Are My Sunshine. And it's so
ever
the first one that was originally made. Yeah,
You Are My Sunshine.
Yeah, that was Bob and Bonnie, and I played the mandolin on that.
My fiance Kathy and I have sung that song many times. We sing harmony to that a cappella. You Are My Sunshine. Gosh,
well, and then
great.
Another one we did first too. When I joined the group, I was telling you about Sunshine Sue and the Rock Creek Rangers. We did a lot of Western music as opposed to country or hillbilly, you know. And we loved the old Bob Nolan Sons of the Pioneers songs, and did many of them. But one of my favorites was a song called Cool Water, and we sang that in trio. When I went to Chicago with my brother, we decided to go ahead and do it there. And though the Sons of Pioneers had written the song sometime before, it had never been recorded. And so we recorded it for Columbia. And it was the first recording made of the Cool Water.
Would you call Western, do you remember a song called You Gotta Dance With Who Brung You, Swing With Who Swung You?
Yeah.
Which was a recent country hit by, I can't remember the name of the group at the moment, but is that more Western, like Western swing, than country?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
See, basically, you could say, country music was basically three chord songs. In other words, if you're in the key of G, you'll use G, C, and D.
Yeah.
And that's about all the chords you use in the original old country songs. When the Western songs came in, they changed that a little bit, and they put in a little more syncopation, a little more, had to know a little bit more about music and chords and so on to be able to play them.
Right.
And that came along with Bob Wills among the original ones, and Spade Cooley and his group, and Tex Williams was with Spade Cooley originally, and then he formed his own band and went on for years. And when that started developing, then they got into a little more of the Western swing, and it really, you know, they'd use Pee-wee. Pee-wee King had a Western swing kind of group with two fiddles and accordion, and accordions were very popular then with Western bands. They filled a lot of backgrounds, you know, and and of course electric instruments was another thing that came along. It really changed it. See, the Orenfro Valley Barn Dance, very few electric instruments were ever used down there. Uh-huh. And the original WSM Grand Ole Opry, they didn't have any electric instruments for a long time because old Judge Hay didn't want it. Solemn old Judge didn't want that. They wanted it.
Until when, about?
Well, I told you, I think, yesterday that I'm a narrator at the American Printing House for the Blind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm right now reading for the blind a book called Grand Ole Opry by a fellow named Chet Hagen, and it's the history of the Grand Ole Opry. And so they started about, I was trying to remember, I think 1928 was when they first started. Anyway, they had the Gully Jumpers and the Fruit Jar Drinkers and all these people, and mostly instrumentals, fiddles and banjos, and then Uncle Dave Macon came along, and he was their first star. And then Pee Wee King was one of the early ones, the first organized band to come into WSM and get country music into that vein a little bit. And, of course, Eddie Arnold was a vocalist with Pee Wee's band and became one of the very top. But this goes back to the late 1920s and then on up through the early 30s. And I believe Bill Monroe joined the Opry in about 1934. Or 36, it was in that range. At that time, my brother Bob and I were on here at WHAS, you know, doing our stuff.
Gosh.
Yeah, goes back a long way.
What a history. And I'm sure, you know, that that you have stories. Gosh, we keep you on here till this time tomorrow. And well, so do a lot of other people that have been on here yesterday and today. And Would you like to take some phone calls? Some people.
I don't have a whole lot of time.
Okay, let's take a couple of calls here. We have the lines ringing. It's 12 minutes after 4, and we can go just for a few minutes and get some people on the air here. And I know somebody on the line right now, line 2 here, wants to talk to you. Can you hear okay what's going on in the air?
I can hear you, but
you can hear. Hold these up to your ear a little bit. Is that too loud?
Well, that's all right. Yeah.
I'll turn it down a little bit for you there.
Yeah, that sounds better.
Okay, we'll go to line 2 here and see who's on. Good afternoon.
Oh, hello, Bob. Mark Williams.
Okay, here we are.
Hello.
Mark Williams.
Yes, sir.
Mark Williams, were you wanting to talk to Randy?
Well, I just called to say hi. I used to program that radio station, Bobby. You know who you're talking to?
That's right, Mark Williams. I certainly do.
I want to congratulate you on the weekend. It's been wonderful.
Thank you. And can you hold on just a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
We'll get you back on.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we had a few calls waiting for you, but I guess during the history and everything, they had to go.
Waited a little too long.
Right.
Well,
but, you know, everybody around this area that has been here for any length of time at all, the few years, either knows of you or has heard of you, and we're referring to everyone that's listening right now, Randy Atcher, and has been a major force in radio and television, particularly in Louisville and other markets as well, all through the South and Midwest, since, back in the 1920s?
Yes. Well, actually, I didn't start till 1932.
Okay.
So 1932. Of course, I was just 14, so, you know, one of the really wonderful things to me that makes me feel really good is that we've been off the air now off T-Bar V and a Hayloft Towdown for 21 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And people talk to me just as though it was just yesterday that the program was on. They all seem to know. And in this day when they talk about how kind of rude young people are and so on, but most of these people call me Mr. Atcher. Now, I'm not used to that, you know, that they called me Randy when they were 4.
Right. Right.
But now they'll say Mr. Atcher. And almost every day that goes by, someone will tell me, they were on T-Barbie, or they watched the program, or their children were on. It's just wonderful to me that after all this many years, they still remember it
sure.
so well.
And do you remember the story I told you yesterday about me going on T-Barbie?
Yeah, I do.
That
yeah.
I was too afraid to?
Yeah.
But I do remember sitting in watching Hayloft Hoedown in the audience one night, and it was just so great. Tremendous, highly professional production, you know. And
we had a lot of fun with that program. And, of course, the days before tape, you know, and everything was live. Whatever happened, happened.
Right.
And the engineers over there put me through it for a long time. This was well before tape in the 1950s, and we were going to do a song that was popular at the time that sort of went, "Oh baby mine, da 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 da," you know. So mm-hmm. it was going to be the opening song, and the theme song was in the key of A, and this song was to be sung in E flat. So it had been decided that
that's a big difference.
Yeah. So as soon as the theme song finished, the accordion player, Tiny Thumbnail, was playing accordion, was going to give me just a note, which was to give me the cue to start out in this other key.
Right.
Oh, it's no tape or anything else. And I said, "Oh, baby, wow, way off key." Three times I had to do it. And they made an audio tape of that, and they threatened me with that for the rest of my tenure at WHS if they were going to play that.
Okay, what I wanted to do, is there anything else you want to add?
Not a thing. I've really enjoyed it. I think it's a great thing you all are doing, and it's kind of brings back a lot of memories that I'd sort of put aside and hadn't thought about, and it's good to kind of remember them, and I hope you all are just keep on going and making things happen.
Randy Etcher, I want to thank you for coming by here. We're going to get everybody kind of gathered in the room here, as many as we can get in here, everybody out in the hall and everything, to sing the closing song to Hayloft Hoedown, like we did yesterday. And then right after this, we are going to play program that's about 30 minutes long. That's the history of WKLO that was made by Bob Henry, the news director of WKLO, and he did this in 1969. And it's Randy. It starts off with you and Joe Eaton.
Well, great. I'll listen to it.
The part I played yesterday, if you remember.
Yeah.
And then it includes some more from then on, and it's really a fantastic program.
Okay,
folks.
Everybody ready?
It's time.
The time has come to say good night, good night, good night. But we'll be here next Friday. Until then, good night.
All right. Bravo, bravo. Thank you again, Randy, for coming by.
You're welcome.
Randy Etcher, one of, if not the, one of the first people ever on WKLO Radio back in November of 1948. And we're going to do this program here that Bob Henry, the news director of WKLO, made back in the late 60s. 1969 was the year. And this is, at what that time, was the history of WKLO. And this is Bob Klein. I'd like to thank everybody for calling up today. And we're going to keep going here till midnight. I think I've done enough here for a while. And we're going to bring somebody else on, one of these maniacs I used to work with, after this program. So this is the history of WKLO on 1080 Stays of Future Past. It's 19 after 4 at WKLO. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to do that again, because I am a professional radio announcer, and I think I hit...
you've got to have the thing.
Oh, okay. It wasn't threaded the right way. This is live radio still today, Randy. You know, it still happens today. Okay, are we ready? Are we ready with this? Just like Johnny Carson says, okay, Bob, roll the tape.